This will be a different kind of message today.
There have been such wonderful and deep dealings that God has been having with my life. And when I did the Thursday class here, I just called the Thursday class 10 a.m., the workshop I did here in the sanctuary, the provision at the cross, the provision of the cross. And during that time, there was such a wonderful presence of the Lord that just seemed to fill this room up, even though that I was the only one standing in here looking at a camera lens and just sensing the wonderful presence of God. And having that presence just become so real and so manifest that I said, Lord, what is this that you would have said today? I know today is the celebration, Lord God, that we recognize your resurrection. We recognize that which you have done on our behalf. So form within me, Lord God, shape or mold within me those truths, these things that you once said, Lord God. This wonderful risen life of Jesus Christ that you want proclaimed here today. And as I began seeking the Lord and looking to the Lord this morning, yesterday, the day before, asking him for his direction, well first and foremost, I would just like us to read the passage of Scripture. I'll pray. And then we're going to read from Luke's Gospel, Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. So Heavenly Father, I would just ask right now that you form these truths that you have been revealing to me and you put them in the order that you want them ministered this day to your children that are listening, Lord. Wherever they may be, there is a truth that you're wanting to proclaim. There's a truth that you're wanting to share, Lord. There's even an awakening. There's even a shaking. There's even a trying to get our attention, Lord God. And so we thank you, Father, for this day that reminds us of that day back then, what you did on our behalf. And we know that through the process of time, Lord God, maybe through the process of time when we first came to know you and where we're at right now, that it's not the same. Hopefully we're growing deeper into you. But if there's something, Lord, that needs to change or transpire, that you will even do that this day. That you will make, Lord God, this wonderful day, this day that we celebrate your resurrection, that you would make it new and afresh to all my brothers and sisters, Lord God, that are listening right now. So we just thank you, Father, for the reading of your word and for the teaching of your word and for open hearts, because I know there's an open heaven. I know there's a communication that you're always doing toward us, Lord. There is a river that is always flowing from your throne, Lord God, outwardly, and it's trying to get into all the different tributaries of our life, Lord God, to speak to us and to show us, Lord, that which you would want to communicate with us. So here we are, Lord. We set ourselves before you on this grateful hearts of your children, and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We celebrate you today and bless you in Jesus' name. On the first day of the week, Matthew 24, verse 1, very early in the morning, it says here, and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Like I said during communion, like I've said at other times, I said there isn't a grave site on this planet you're ever going to find the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now look what it goes on here to say. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that two men stood by them in shining garments. As we know, if you look at verse 23, that the two men are defined in verse 23 as angels. They're telling what they had seen, and it said they had seen a vision of angels. So the two men are angels, if any of you ever wanted to know who these two men were. Verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but risen. Remember how he, referring to Jesus, spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now, for some reason, This phrase, remember his words, or remember Jesus' words, or remember what Jesus has said, has just that phrase just wouldn't leave me. Remember his words. And I've been going back and looking at the things that Jesus said when he was here on the earth. I went back and was looking at his teachings. I went back and looked at his commands. I went back and looked at his promises. I went back and looked what he had to say concerning the days that we are now living in, or we would call the days of the end of all things are at hand. I went back and I started looking at the revelation that Paul received and Peter received and James received and how the different gospels, how Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what they received, and the revelation also that John received, the last book of the New Testament, going back and pondering all kinds of words, what Jesus said. Remember his words. And as I started thinking about that, I believe that there's a lot of words of Jesus we know, but there's not a lot of his words that we're bringing to our remembrance. And as the result of Jesus Christ doing what he did, dying on the cross for our sins, buried 3 days, and resurrecting on that third day, gave us the ability, gave us the right to become children of God, but gave us also the ability to know him and to hear him, to have the Holy Spirit come reside on the inside of us, so that the Holy Spirit, as it says in John 14, can bring his words to our remembrance. But we live in a world that there's so many things trying to crowd out what the Lord's ministry, what the Lord's trying to say. There's pressures upon us. There's this coronavirus that we're facing. There's all these different things that are trying to get our attention, trying to speak to us. And as I started meditating on this and started thinking about this and how that stone was rolled away, and thinking about how Jesus told in John chapter 11, he told the people to roll away the stone that was in front of Lazarus's tomb. And then I started thinking, is there anything within my life that there has been a stone rolled in front of what God is wanting to do? Is there a stone in my life that is trying to block out the risen life of the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to block out what God may be speaking because of what Jesus Christ secured on my behalf? Is there something that I've allowed to come in that has caused something to be put there instead of allowing the glorious light and love and truth of Jesus Christ to birth forth as it did that day so many years ago that we are celebrating today? And so as I started meditating on this and thinking about this and looking at the world right now that we are facing, this coronavirus has touched every aspect of this planet. I was reading recently about a person that's living in Africa in a remote village. They're even in shutdown. They're even in lockdown. They don't even have stores like we have stores or paved streets like we have paved streets. Just a small community out in the middle of nowhere, but being told that they need to stay locked in and not go out. Is God using this to get our attention? Is he using this to cause us to once again to reflect on the greatness of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus, the connection that we were supposed to be walking in with Jesus Christ? Are there things that the Holy Spirit has been trying to bring to our remembrance, words of Jesus, teachings of Jesus, things, a prophetic word of Jesus that he's trying to communicate to us, but we haven't been in a place to listen? And so I've been asking myself these things. So when you see what has happened here, look at everything that has been canceled of late. Schools have been canceled of late, where kids get together and mingle with their classmates, where they've got to do school at home. Sporting events. I mean, when have we ever seen worldwide sporting events shut down? People that love to go to movies or entertainments or concerts, they're not even letting certain movies be released now. Concerts are being canceled. Those of you that like to listen to Christian leaders, and there's, you know, these teaching seminars that are coming up, canceled. Hotel reservations canceled. What's going on? Employment, people losing their jobs, people having to stay home and work from home. What about churches? Now, there are so many on this planet that are not even meeting today. Now, some are doing it because they feel that they have a right to do so, and they're getting together today. And there's this big thing right now about the separation of church and state, which we have to be careful of, that we don't try to demand our rights when it's not a thing of church and state issue, it's a public health issue. So just because it's the right thing to do for churches to meet, just because churches have the right to meet, let me say it that way, just because churches have the right to meet, is it the right thing to do? And I say the answer is no. I believe that all of this has been orchestrated, that God is even allowing the churches to be empty. And you might be asking, well, what is this? Because at times we love our entertainment. We love our sports. We love our private time. We love our freedom. People's freedoms, movements have been restricted. And we love all these things. And at times, I believe that they are getting in the way of what the Lord is trying to bring to our remembrance. There are things, because it says here that they in verse 8 of Luke 24, and they remembered his words. You see, it took some angels, or it took a message, or it took a message from a messenger to speak to them. And when they were told the words that he said aforetime, brought back to their remembrance at this time, then they remembered his words. I believe that at times present circumstances and present situations that we are facing, that those of us that even love the church structure, we love the gathering together of the saints. There's nothing wrong with church. There's nothing wrong with people coming together. But is God also addressing those things that we love, the structure of the church, instead of being the church? Are there things that God is trying to communicate to us and get our attention about? Are there idols? Yeah, I believe it's the very last verse of 1 John 5. We have this wonderful letter from one of the original disciples or apostles of Jesus Christ, and he writes this beautiful letter. I just love the letter of 1 John, but it's really interesting how he ends the very last verse in 1 John 5:21. Little children, in other words, he's addressing people of God, believers in Jesus. Little children, keep yourself, guard yourself against, or keep yourselves from idols. Is God touching idols within our lives? Is God touching things that exalt themselves higher than the Lord within our life? Is the Lord touching certain things and removing certain things that we have looked to greater than Jesus? The Word of God tells us, I believe it's in Colossians 1:18, that Jesus is to have the preeminence in all things, the first place. When you look up that word preeminence, let me find it here. I believe it's Colossians 1:18. When it's speaking of that Jesus is to have the preeminence in all things, I'll read you the verse. And he, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the head of our lives, the one that's supposed to be Savior, Lord, Master, Healer, Deliverer, the one who's supposed to be able to speak into our lives and get our attention about anything. And he is the head of the body. Jesus is the Lord. We are the body. Jesus is the head. We are the body. He is the head over the church. We are his church. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But look what it goes on here to say the rest of this verse, that in all things, that Jesus in all things may have the preeminence, that he may have the first place, the first in recognition, the first that we go to, the first that we speak to, no matter what's taking place within our life, that he's the first recourse. He's the one that we talk to about first. He's the one that has the number one place marker within our lives. So it says here, him being the firstborn from the dead, that he's to be the head of the body, the church, and that in all things, in every area of our life, he is to have the first place. me looking at my own life, there are areas in my life, you would have to agree with me, that he doesn't have the first place. And I really have sensed that when I was in here Thursday morning teaching this workshop, how such a wonderful, mighty, heavy, glorious presence of God really began to descend upon me here in a room where nobody else was at. And I really began sensing what Jesus Christ secured for us to experience as the result of what we are celebrating today, his resurrection. I sensed his presence. I sensed his speaking. I sensed his conviction. I sensed his drawing near unto me. I was teaching a class, and we were looking at certain things. We were looking at that subject, the provision of the cross, the provision at the cross. And I had spoken about the curse of sin, the effects of sin, the condemnation of sin, and all that Jesus Christ liberated us from. And then as I was speaking about Jesus, it was almost like God was honoring me. I was drawing near to him. He was honoring me by drawing near to me. And it was just an awesome, wonderful, and yet frightening presence of God that I was experiencing. And I'm not the same. And I was trying to seek the Lord as to what he would have for me to say today. And at times, you know, when we think about this day, we think about these kind of things, and we're wanting something upbeat. Well, this is all upbeat. This is what the Lord is needing to do in these final days before he returns. And he has to get the church's attention. He's got to get us back to first love. He has got to reveal any coldness in a person's life, any lukewarmness in a person's life, anything that has dominated a person's life where Jesus isn't the dominant one in that place. There's nothing wrong with sports as long as Jesus is the dominant place. There's nothing wrong with good entertainment or good music as long as Jesus can speak to us about it. Are we letting him have the first place? There's nothing wrong with coming into a church building and gathering, but do we like the structure more than do we like the Lord of that structure? And the Lord is speaking to idols within people's lives. Things that just, remember the church at Ephesus that Jesus addressed in Revelation 2, Revelation chapter 2, where he focused in on this one phrase where he says, you have left your first love. In other words, Jesus doesn't have the preeminent place. He doesn't have the first place. All it takes is him just going to take second place. Jesus takes second place, second fiddle to nobody. And he loves us so much because the Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that he's coming for a glorious church. He's coming for a church without spot and without wrinkle. And I started doing a whole nother study about leprosy in Christians' lives, spots. Leprous spots that if not dealt with properly, will grow like a cancer and just consume the entire person, even though it just starts out with a little red spot. A little spot, and how that spot can grow and grow and grow and consume a person's life. Jesus, part of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was to make sure that we never had to allow things like that to overtake our lives. And so we have to realize all that he has also secured for us in this life and for this life as we live this life. And so, you know, one of the things that Jesus said when he was tempted by the devil in both Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, was when the devil offered him all the kingdoms of this world, and the only thing that Jesus needed to do was to bow down and worship him. And Jesus' response was from one of the Ten Commandments, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. Sometimes we can worship certain things that they become so much more important to us that it is even a form of worship, or we give it more worth. See, the word worship, worth-ship, in other words, what we are describing worth to, that we put ourselves as an act of bowing before it or giving ourselves to it, that we're putting causing something to be of greater worth in our life than God is. And so I really believe that he is addressing some of these things, and he's going after that which we esteem highly, and if that is taking a place above what Jesus has for our life or who he's supposed to be within our lives. And contemplating these things and looking at these things, that I've actually had to look at my own life in certain areas. Am I allowing the resurrected Jesus, the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus, would he have secured for all of us to be? How on this side of eternity we can grow so close to the Lord that the Word of God says, I believe it's in John chapter 10 where it speaks about people who know his voice. It talks about him being the shepherd. As you know, John chapter 10 is the passage of the good shepherd. And then it makes this statement about him being the shepherd and we being his sheep. And it says this in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. When was the last time you were able to see and say that you're hearing the voice of the Lord clearly? That because of your life relationship with Jesus, that you're able to have the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit was sent. So we could even say the Holy Spirit was sent as a messenger, as God the Holy Spirit to dwell with inside of us. And how often does the Holy Spirit trying to bring things to our remembrance of what Jesus wants us to know, what Jesus wants us to grasp? It even tells us in John 16, he says, there's a whole lot of things I want to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. But because we're saved and because we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, this verse, as it says here in John 16, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. See, that was before the cross. That was before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Since the cross, since the death, and since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have now been given the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit, so we can know all those things that Jesus wants to communicate to us. So then what's the problem? Things get entered in, and we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to be as relevant to us or speak to us as we need to be hearing. When that stone was rolled away from Jesus' tomb so many years ago, he secured the right for any stone within our life to be overturned, any stone that may come into our life after we've come to know him to be rolled away also. And he is going to use people, as it says in John chapter 11, when his good friend Lazarus died and was buried 4 days. And the sister was like, if you would have just come, if you would have just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus was referring to himself as the resurrection and the life. And the sister's like, yeah, I know that. I know that you are the resurrection. I know. Here's what Martha said in chapter 11 of John, verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She knew the words of Jesus, and she put that day in the future. But Jesus wanted her to have an understanding that there's a resurrection life. There is a power of God that's available to us on this side of eternity. We just don't have to relegate all things for the future. We don't have to relegate till we breathe our last breath and go to home to be in the presence of Jesus. There are things that Jesus was trying to communicate to this group of people, trying to communicate to Mary and Martha and those who were gathered there, that Jesus has the say-so over all of life and everything that we experience. As the result of what Jesus Christ did on this day that we're celebrating, he's wanting to bring to our understanding a greater revelation of himself, a greater truth of himself, so that we can begin experiencing more of his resurrected life or the power of his resurrection within our life on this side of eternity. And he was trying to create a shift within these two sisters' thinking, not just relegate Jesus' power to a day in the future of the resurrection of the just, or when we die and our bodies go into the ground, our spirit and soul go home to be with Jesus, and then a day when the last trumpet's going to sound, where the dead in Christ rise first, and if we happen to be alive, we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye and get a resurrected body like Jesus. He's saying, I don't want you just to, yes, I want you to believe that, but I don't want you to relegate my power to just one day in the future. It's available now. And my question is, and I believe the Lord's question to me was, are we living in that ability now? Are we Are we becoming more sensitive to the Lord, how he wants to use our lives in these days? Or are we allowing the circumstances of this present life or the pressures of this present life, are we allowing them to dictate to us? Or are we going to utilize this time that we have right now, this safer at home, this distancing stuff that we're facing? Are we going to utilize this time to draw near to God, as what happened to me Thursday, and then experience him drawing near to you? There is, if we will utilize this time properly, if we will spend some time in fasting and develop our prayer life, our dialogue life with God, your life is not going to be the same as it was. You're going to be in a place like these women were who went to the tomb. You're going to be in a place to hear messages from God. You're going to be able to hear communication from the Holy Spirit. You're going to be able to hear the words of Jesus, the revelation of truth through the Apostle Paul, through Peter, through James, through Jude, through all the other ones in the New Testament. You're going to be able to hear the Word of God spoken to you. And God wants to make himself so real to you, he died just not to forgive you of your sins, but to cause you to become a children of God. And children hear what the Father wants them to hear. There's a communication that Jesus secured the right for all of us to experience. He wants a greater communication to you. And I'm wanting that this resurrection day, yes, I am glad I am forgiven of my sins. Yes, I am glad that I am a child of God. But as the result of me being forgiven of my sins, and as the result of me becoming a child of God, it has given me access to God. It has given me access into his presence. It has given me access to his throne. It has given me access to the kingdom of God. It has given me access to the resources of the kingdom of God. It has given me access to the presence of God. It has given me access to the mind of God. It has given me access to the promises of God. It has given me access to the righteousness of God. It has given me access to what the eternal life, or the very life as God is and God has, for me to experience now, not just relegating it to the future, as Martha was saying here. As Martha was saying, yes, I know that in the last day, he'll rise up at the last day. Jesus said to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection. I'm not just going to experience a resurrection. I am the power of that resurrection. Listen what he says here. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? We know that we are these believers that Jesus is referring to here, that as a result of all of us putting our faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have been given the gift of eternal life, which has given us access to God, which has given us the ability to hear from him, which has given us an ability to experience the very life force of God himself within our lives and through our lives. Yes, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. I need to ask all of you here today, those of you that are listening, I hope every one of you that are saved, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is your personal Savior? And if he has become your personal Savior, do you believe that he's also Lord of your life? Does he have a free speaking in your life? Are you submitted to him? Are you submitted to his word? Jesus, the very first temptation that the devil gave to Jesus, he was in the wilderness. And they say that that place that Jesus was in the wilderness, that the stones were like lime rock stones, and they were kind of like a pale white. In other words, they looked like bread. Some of the stones actually looked like loaves of bread. And so he was tempted, well, if you are who you say you are, then command these stones to be made bread. But see, Jesus had an understanding, and all of us have to have this understanding, that we are people, what? We don't live by bread alone. Now, we know that a lot of people have been concerned about their daily bread. A lot of people have been concerned about shelves not stocked as they should be in the store, or certain items that they were used to purchasing, that these items are scarcity, or they're being limited, or they're just not on the shelves anymore. But the Word of God has given us a promise that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, when we have a hearing of God in our life, when we have a speaking of God within our life, does he not know, according to Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, or what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Can he not direct you where to go? Can he not direct you at the time to go? Can he not direct you which store to go to? Can he not give specific direction in your life today? Is there not a resurrection connection that you have with Jesus right here, right now, that he's able to speak to you about very personal things within your life? And how you know that you need these personal items, and Jesus can even give you your daily personal items. But the question that we have to ask ourselves, are we in a position to hear from the resurrected Lord? Are we in a position to know what it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 26? Right, it's Acts chapter 10, I think, verse 36, where it speaks about that Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Are we in a place, as it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, that Jesus is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega? He is the Almighty. Do we have stock in that? Do we have faith in that? Do we really believe that Jesus is Almighty? He's the resurrected Savior, Lord, King, Almighty God. There is nothing that's impossible with him or impossible to bring into your life. And these are things that I believe that the Lord is stimulating our heart. He's stimulating me about. He's causing us to see Jesus. In other words, see what he's wanting to do. See where he's wanting to bring us. See a truth or a revelation that he's trying to communicate to us. As you know, in Matthew chapter 17, when Peter, James, and John were brought up to this mount, it's referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says that when Jesus was up there, he was transfigured before them. And Moses and Elijah show up. And so you have Moses and Elijah, and you have Jesus, and you have Peter, James, and John. Right there you have a picture. You have a picture of all the promises and all the prophecies that came through the mouth, that came through the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning the Redeemer that would come. You have that which represents the old covenant, and you have that which is the fulfillment of it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's verse 17, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And we have standing right there in Matthew chapter 17, we have standing right there the representative of the old covenant and all the promise and all the promises concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. Then you have Jesus standing right there who is the fulfillment of every prophecy concerning the coming of the Son of God to take away the sin of the world, to eventually become the King of the universe and King over this entire planet. And then you have Peter, James, and John, which represents the new covenant or the representatives of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. So you have the old being fulfilled and you have the new being released and you have the one who fulfilled the old and released the new covenant in his blood. And the proclaimers of that new covenant. And so Peter gets all discombobulated and wants to make tents, these little tents for each of them. And then it says a cloud descends and comes over all of them. And there's a voice that speaks from heaven. And that voice is God that speaks from heaven. And he says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. You see, there's a hearing, there's a speaking that Jesus is doing in the world today. And I believe that this time of seclusion, this time of being alone, this worldwide change, like I said Thursday, there's a lot of different prophetic voices as to why this is occurring. Only time will tell if this is like the inauguration or the beginning of the final last days. Is this that prophecy that David Wilkerson spoke in 1986 about this plague that would come upon the whole world and have a focus in New York City? Is this that third great awakening that he spoke of? Well, I tell you what, you can be awakened right now. If it is, you can be awakened. If it's not, you can still be awakened. There's an awakening that's taking place. There's a getting of our attention that's taking place as long as we are putting our focus in the right place. Are we focusing in on what everybody's saying in the news? Are we focusing in on the coronavirus? Are we focusing in on not being able to see our sports or having our entertainment or having our restrictions limited? Or are we drawing aside? Are we getting into our secret place? Are we becoming more people of prayer? You see, in Jesus' parable in Matthew chapter 18, he gives us the meaning of the parable before he speaks the parable. Then he asks a question at the end of the parable. So I'm not going to read the parable, but I'm going to tell you the meaning of the parable in Luke 18:1, and then we're going to look at the question Jesus asked in Luke 18:8. In Luke 18:1, Jesus says this, and he, speaking of Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men or people, this is the word for people, that people always ought to pray, that people always ought to communicate with God, that people always ought to begin dialoguing with God. And what? And not lose heart. There's people losing heart. It's sad. It's so sad to see people so terrified, to see people that have lost hope or had no hope decide it's better for me and my family to leave this planet and to kill the wife, to kill the children, and then kill themselves. And if that's just one report, how many other things are taking place that we're not hearing about? Jesus wants to make sure that hope is given to every person. So he wants us to be a people of prayer, or people that are in communication with him, people that are sensitive to him, people know that he is the shepherd and we are his sheep, and we follow him and we know him and we listen to him, so that we can be the ones that speak into a person's life, so that we can be the one that is able to share with a person who's afraid, who doesn't have hope, so that we can bring the God of all hope into their lives. We can give them the hope of the gospel. And so a lot of people are so, as one person said, well, we have the right to meet, so we're going to go ahead and meet anyway. You see, the focus there was me and my. The focus was what they have a right to do. The focus wasn't, it was the church structure or the church meeting or the gathering together because for the sake of the church. There wasn't a focus on the people around them in need. There wasn't a focus on maybe somebody having the coronavirus and getting ready to enter into eternity, or people that are afraid of getting it, to dispel that fear with a hope, with a gospel, with some good news of Jesus Christ, with a resurrected message of Jesus Christ, with something that their lives can grab a hold of, that Jesus can become the anchor, the stabilizer of a person's mind or emotion, an anchor of the soul. And there's a lot of people's souls and their feelings and their emotions are up and down. And Jesus can be the anchor of it. He can stabilize it. And so we have to have an understanding here that Jesus wants us to be a people of prayer. And I really believe that these times that we're living in, we're finding ourselves drawing near. We're finding ourselves communicating more. We're finding ourselves becoming more sensitive to the Lord. And we are a people who don't lose heart. We're not a people who give up. We're not a people like, oh my gosh, where is this going? No, we know where everything's going. We've read the end of the book. We've read about the things that are coming. And Jesus said, I've told you these things beforehand so you can keep your stabilization on me, so that you can endure to the end. So these things aren't going to throw you for a loop. They're not going to make you wonder and bewilder and be up and down. Jesus said these things were going to be. He's the stabilizer of my life. I take my resource. I take my truth from another kingdom. I take my guidance from Jesus, who is Lord of all, and he's Lord over my life. You see, this is part of the resurrected message today. This is part of the resurrection meaning that he wants us to grab hold of, that we aren't to be just living life as we normally do. That this is supposed to be getting our attention, to cause us to draw near. Because listen to the question that Jesus asks in verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Listen to this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus returns. Now, let me say this. There's a twofold answer here. When the Son of Man comes, I believe that there's many visitations of Jesus in our life. And there's times that he specifically comes and addresses certain things within our life. As we have the letters to the seven churches. He specifically had letters written to seven churches throughout Asia. If you follow it from the church of Ephesus all the way around to the church of Laodicea, you can see that there was a circuit there. I think it went this way. I think you can see that there was a circuit there that when you left the coast, you can see a circuit all the way coming back to the church from Ephesus to the church of Laodicea. You can see that circuit there, that the Lord had a message. He had a letter. He had something specific for each church. And you'll notice what he said to each church was different. He has something that he's trying to communicate to his body all over this planet. He's dealing differently to the church in the United States than he's dealing with the church in China. He's dealing differently with the church in China than those in Iran. He's dealing differently to those in North Korea than he's dealing with in the Philippines. The Lord has a specific message. He has a specific word to his specific church everywhere. But let's get it even closer to that. He's got a specific word for the congregation you're a part of. Let's get it even more honed in than that. He's got a specific word to each person of a congregation. See, he loves us so much and he's wanting to speak to us. And he's wanting to get our attention. And so it says here, it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, are we sensitive to his coming? Are we sensitive to his revelation? Are we sensitive to the moving and guiding of the Holy Spirit within our lives? And then the question is asked, will he really find faith on the earth? When he comes to me right now, when he comes to you right now, how is your faith? How is your belief? How is your trust? How is your confidence? How is your reliance upon the Lord right now? Does it need some work? Does it need some improvement? Do you need to be developed more in your spiritual walk with God? Have you gotten in a routine? Have you gotten into a sect of teaching that you're just stuck on and you're only looking at this to the neglect of other things that God wants to teach you? Jesus is coming and he's knocking over holy cows. He's knocking over, he's revealing idols. He's revealing things that are greater in our life than he is, because that's how much he loves us. And he knows that if these things in our life are greater than he is, he knows that the virtual impact, or the literal impact it could have on us, is to actually destroy our faith in him, or relegate our faith, as it was to Martha, to some time in the future, that he's not a present God, that he's not an ever-present God, that he's not a God that is speaking today or that wants to speak to you and help you and to lead you and to guide you. That the very day in which Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead and these women went to the tomb and that stone was rolled away and those angels of the Lord that were there had a message, had a personal prophetic word, had a word especially for their lives. You came seeking Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. And so what of Jesus are we seeking? Are we seeking a past Jesus? Are we seeking a Jesus of yesterday or a testimony of last year? Are we seeking something of Jesus that we once experienced so many years ago and we don't have a right now word from God? We don't have a right now life with God right now? Are we looking at something that we have to go back so many years and to bring something up that happened so many years ago? Is there not something fresh? Is there not a fresh word, a message from the throne of God by the Holy Spirit to our lives today? The stone's been rolled away. Jesus Christ is resurrected and he's speaking. He's speaking and he's wanting to speak to all of us. As the Lord said to Peter, James, and John, in Matthew 17, hear him. And it says, when the cloud was lifted, they saw Jesus only. There is a truth. There is a speaking forth of God. There is a new revelation of his word and of his truth that he wants to make known to us. We have a truth that is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, take one of those ones off there. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. And here's a truth here that I believe that the Lord wants to communicate. It's concerning this speaking of Jesus, this hearing of Jesus. Verse 1. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in the times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days. You see, right then, even the writing of this. Now, most of you, if you have a study Bible, I can just turn over one page and see approximately when this was written. This was written from between AD 64 and AD 68, prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And that's why there's a lot of things that are addressed here to these Messianic Jews. But it goes on here to say that has in these last days. Well, if it was the last days then, what time is it now? Where are we at? Where are we at on that prophetic timeline? Where are we in the closeness of Jesus coming? It says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. You see, Jesus as a shepherd has a way that he communicates to his sheep. Jesus as the head of a body has a way that he wants to communicate to that body. Just as I have a head here, and from the neck down is my body. And my hands are being communicated by what's coming from the head. The words that are coming from my mouth is that which is coming, I believe, from the Spirit of God through my understanding and being released from my lips right now. That there's a communication, there's a contact that I have, a present contact with God. And I'm allowing the Spirit of God to form thoughts and words with inside me, and being ever so patient and ever so seeking the Lord as I'm speaking right now to have the proper things that he once said communicated even to you right now on this resurrection day of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's resurrection secured the right so that you could hear from him. He secured the right that you are a child of God and you can have that ability to hear what he's wanting to communicate to each and every one of us. It says, has in these last days spoken to us by the Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I love these all things passages. As it says here, he is the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Do you think that what we're facing right now has caught Jesus by surprise? Do you believe that he is the preeminent one over everything, that he knows the beginning of this and he also knows the end of it? But he also knows our life, and if we will be sensitive to him, what can transpire in our life as the result of him being the one who upholds, he upholds the very function of life here on this planet. Governments don't do it. Nations don't do it. The Word of God tells us that Jesus is the one who's in charge of kings. He's in charge of leaders. That these people are in the hand of the Lord. The Word of God tells us in the book of Daniel, he knows how to put him in office and he knows how to take him out of office. Our eyes need to be on Jesus. Our eyes need to be listening to him. Our eyes need to be attuned to what he's wanting to communicate and speak to us, even this day. As it says down here in chapter 2 also of Hebrews, it goes on here to say, it says in verse 8, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things under him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. What I'm so excited about on this day, that Jesus Christ, he defeated death. There's some things that you need to, let me just cover some things here real quick. There are some things you have to have an understanding of this day when we think about Jesus Christ. And I wrote down three things here that we need to make sure that we have in our mind and in our heart, that Jesus Christ, number one, he defeated sin in the flesh. That sin does not have a dominion over you anymore. The Word of God says sin's power has been broken over your life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I believe it's in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. I have the choice to sin or not to sin. You have the power to sin or not to sin. The Word of God also says that death has lost its what? Death has lost its grip on me. Satan no longer has a hold on me. When we think of sin, when we think of Satan, and we think of death, we have to realize from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is no more sting of sin. There is no more sting of death. Satan has lost his grip over my life and over your life. Jesus now has a grip on your life. Let that resurrection message sink deep within inside your heart today. But I have to ask the question, as you need to have to ask the question, does Jesus have a firm grip? Does Jesus have a say in your life? Are you able, as it says here in verse 9 of Hebrews 2, but we see Jesus? Are you looking to Jesus? Does the Word of God have a dominant place within your life? Is it teaching you? Is it feeding you? Is it speaking to you? Is the Holy Spirit able to lead and guide your life into all righteousness in all things? You see, when I look at this message for today, and I think about this message for today, I think of all that Jesus Christ secured for me to become and the relationship that he secured that I'm supposed to be having with him. And that I, Mark Smith, have not fully participated in what Jesus has for my life to the extent that he wants me to. And that's on me. And if it's on me, then it's on you also. We can grow spiritually as much as we want to grow spiritually. We can experience so much more of the resurrected life of Jesus in this life. We don't have to relegate it to a time in the future. But there are things that he's wanting to teach us now about his life. There's things now that he's wanting to communicate with us. And if I could get a message across today, that this stone that was rolled away and this empty tomb, we should have an understanding that this resurrected Jesus, this risen Jesus, has something he's trying to communicate to us. We as his sheep, we as the children of God, we that have an access to God, we that are to be a people of prayer, a people that don't lose heart. If anybody here at the sound of my voice or watching me right now is fainting, is losing heart, is overly concerned or overly worried or overly stressed out, there's a truth that you haven't grasped yet. There's a reality of Jesus that hasn't been made fully known to you yet that he wants you to grasp, that he wants you to get a hold of, so that you can be in a place of knowing, as when Jesus went further on after the angels spoke that word to go tell the disciples and Jesus met them on the way, he said, rejoice. And we should have a heart that's rejoicing no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening within the world. We can rejoice because we know the one whom gave us his joy, who gave us new life, who forgave us, who gave us the ability to have the power over sin, who gave us the ability to put the devil in his place, gave us the ability to experience life as God is and God has, gave us the ability to secure the promises of God right now, right here in the land of the living, give us the ability to taste of the grace of God, the favor of God, the ability of God right here, right now on this side of eternity, to know that God is our Father and to enter into a greater fellowship and relationship with him than we've ever thought possible. So I think that God has, as it says in the last verse of 1 John chapter 5, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Has the Lord, through this teaching this morning, or what I've communicated so far, has the Lord touched any idols? Has he touched anything in your life that has a greater place in you than Jesus? Is there something that he's laid his hand on, his finger on? You see, the Lord loves us so much that he will correct or rebuke us. I believe it's in Revelation chapter 3, I think it's verse 19, where he refers to that as many as he loves, he will chasten. He corrects those whom he loves. He loves you. He loves me. So his chastening isn't to bring us down, to make us feel bad. It's to expose a lack. It's to expose an area of insufficiency. It's to show us where my trust or my faith is not developed in him as it ought to be. So when the Son of Man returns, Will he find faith on the earth? And the answer is yes. The answer is absolutely yes. Because there are those of us during times like this that we purpose to seek God, that we purpose to seek first the kingdom of God or all the resources that heaven has and that heaven has provided because of Jesus Christ on our behalf and always maintaining a right relationship with God. In other words, we deal with things immediately. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness within our lives and through our lives to partake of the grace of God that he has secured for us while living here. These are all tangible things for us to experience now. So will he find faith on the earth? Yes, because in Ephesians 5:27, I believe it is, he's coming for a glorious church. And it says there in verse 27 that he might present it to her, that he might present her to himself, that he might present the church to himself, the body of Christ to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You see, that is our life in Jesus. That is what he has for us in the here and now. And he wants you to take a simple verse like this, or like Peter said, I believe it's in 1 Peter 2, to be holy as God is holy. You have the ability. You have the ability in Jesus Christ to be exactly what this verse says. And all it takes is an acknowledging of him within your life. All it takes is becoming a little bit more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. All it takes is for you to become more of a person of prayer. And that if you sense yourself becoming faint, if you sense yourself becoming weak, if you sense that your faith is diminishing in any way, if you sense a timidity, or if you sense anything within your life that you feel like you're pulling back, wait a second. Let me start talking again with the Lord. Wait a second. That's not what the Word of God says concerning my life in Jesus. The Word of God says that Jesus is the faithful and merciful high priest. And his faithfulness dwells within me. His mercy is upon my life. I have a right to come before the throne of grace and get any help that I need in whatever situation that I'm facing. I have an access to God and God's throne and God's presence at any time. Because of a righteousness that has been given to me as a gift, I have a right now, because the blood of Jesus applied to my life that we are celebrating today and the resurrected Lord Jesus, I have an anytime access to God the Father. And so I would just pray that you yourselves would be taking some time, looking to Jesus, taking some time, as it says, it's over here in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, there's so many that have gone before us in verse 1, and that we have the ability to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, which so easily tries to thwart us or to stop us or to try to hinder us. It says that we have a race that we're on and we can do it with endurance. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13. It says that he that endures remains consistent all the way to the end. It says this same one will be saved. No, go back up. Let me see verse 13 and 14, guy. And you put those two verses together. In verse 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 24, it speaks about that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. We are at this time frame in history. I really believe that there is coming a closure of certain things. Now, I don't know how far along the birth pangs that we are in. I don't know how far these things are along, but I know that we're further along in the prophetic timeline than we've ever been before. And we have to have this understanding that we need to endure. We need to continue to look to Jesus, as it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you have to have an understanding that you're looking to him to hear him. You are spending time to seek him, to hear what he has to say for your life, for you to become more like him, for you to become sensitive to him. You see, there's another passage here, as we're in Hebrews chapter 12. It says that we have a right, and we have come to a place, in verse 22, we have the right to come to Mount Zion. We have a right to the city of the living God. We have a right to the heavenly Jerusalem. We are part of an innumerable company, an access that if God even wants to use angels to minister to us, he can use angels. But also remember that the word angel means that God will get a message to you the way that he needs to get a message to you. He can communicate anything that he needs to communicate to you because you belong to him. To the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And look at this part here, verse 24. To Jesus. You've come to Mount Zion to come to Jesus. See, it went from this large place and went doom, 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 doom to a focal point here. And the focal point, once again, is the focal point of today. The focal point today is on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The focal point is Jesus. And why is it here? Why is Jesus this focal point? Because it says here in verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. You see, Jesus is trying to communicate something in this day and age to us. Because if there's anything on our life that needs to be shaken, if there's anything on our life that needs to come off, it goes on here to say, let me just read this to you from verse 25 down. Hebrews 12. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates this, the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. It's just letting us know here, there's a speaking of Jesus that even during this time, if there are things, if there are attachments that have come into our life, things that we've added into our life that God never intended to be a part of our life or dominant things within our life, that there's a word, a truth, something that's going to come from Jesus. He's going to speak and he's going to reveal something so it can fall off, so it no longer has a dominant place, so it no longer has a controlling place within your life. He's wanting everything that is not of him to be removed from your life so that empty tomb, that resurrected Jesus can speak in your life, that he can shine forth in your life. As it says in Isaiah 60, to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God doesn't want anything of his glory to be diminished within your life. He doesn't want anything to get in there and try to cloud out or put a cover on that glory, as Peter, James, and John wanted to put a tent with Moses and Elijah and Jesus. He doesn't want anything covering his glory, his focal point, Jesus Christ, within your life. And so I've been examining my life. Have I allowed a covering to come on certain things of God in my life? Have I allowed things to get in there and cover what God is trying to express, what God is trying to share? Have I allowed other things in my life? Have I put on cloaks, coverings that are not of God within my life? Have I allowed attachments to come in that somehow are blocking what God wants to do in my life to other people's lives? And I'm going to close with a passage that we've been looking at for many months now. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because when you read what the Apostle Paul wrote to his son Timothy during a very difficult time in church history, what the difficulty really meant to do. And when we see at times what difficulty or what pressures of this world are really trying to do to us, then we have a spiritual understanding that we're not going to sit still. We're going to draw close. We're going to move in a whole lot deeper. We are going to side with the resurrected King of Glory. We're going to side with the one who has the final say in everything. We're going to look to the one who has the preeminence in all things, the first place in all things, and he's over all things, and he's got the final word in everything. And so over here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul encourages Timothy. He encourages his son in the faith to stir up the gift of God within him. In verse 6, therefore I remind you, Timothy, I remind you, church, to stir up the gift of God which is given to you, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Do you remember the day of your salvation? Do you remember the day of your Holy Spirit baptism? Do you remember the day when you were endued with power from on high? Do you remember the day when God loosed your tongue and you became a flaming witness for Jesus Christ? Do you remember the day when you had your first prayer answered? Do you remember the day when maybe a healing came into your life? Do you remember the day? Do you remember Jesus' words ministered to you when he liberated you, when he set you free? When he communicated a truth or a revelation to you that you never knew before, you were asking God about something and he opened up the word to you. Do you remember his words? Do you remember? He's wanting to get us a place to remember, to remind us of a place that we can now enjoy once again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity to cringe or to back off, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, so what is the pressure of the world going to do? What are some of these things happening in Christians' lives? It's causing them to back off. It's causing them to be quiet. In a way, that's good, to get quiet with God. But in order to open up our mouth, in order to be used of God in ministry. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began, before there was a way to calculate time, when it was just eternity, before Genesis 1:1, God called you and God has a purpose for your life. He has something for your life to accomplish while you're here on this planet. And number one, it's to be the Lord's testimony. It's for your life to testify of who Jesus is. It's for your life to make known what this day is all about. This glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher. You have been appointed a proclaimer. You are a sayer. You are a revealer of the gospel. The same way Paul was, and he's encouraging Timothy, so are you a testifier of the good news of Jesus Christ. You do not relegate it to a single individual. We have all part in this ministry. It says here, to which I was which has appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles for this reason. I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words by which you have heard from me and in faith, and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Do not allow the things which are taking place right now, the things that you're experiencing, that cause you to back off of your testimony of Jesus Christ. I believe that the Lord, as David Wilkerson's prophecy says, concerning this third great awakening, that there's an awakening taking place to the church. The church is awakening from its sleep. She's awakening to her rightful place in Jesus Christ. There is even a severe rebuke coming because of their lethargy. Yeah, I know Jesus died for my sin. Yeah, I know that he was buried and he resurrected the third day and I'm going to live forever with him. There isn't a fervency. There isn't a desire to serve him or make him known within their hearts and lives. We should have such a great desire for the eternal well-being of others that we will come out of our comfort zone in order to speak to someone, regardless of how it is accepted, that we will share when we need to share. We will model Jesus when we need to model Jesus. We will be as Jesus is in this earth during these hours that we are living in. You and me are part of this last and final awakening that the Lord is trying to get our attention over, trying to get our attention about. So let us make sure that we utilize this time that we are in. Yes, celebrate today. Yes, praise God. Yes, get to your feet and worship the Lord right now. But remember, you are here for a purpose. He has called you and given you a purpose to model the day that we celebrate right now, to model the resurrection life of Jesus, to model a life that has now been brought back into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Yes, we can speak of what happened 2,000 years ago, but does my life demonstrate, does my life proclaim, does my life show forth the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ? By faith, yes, and every day becoming more and more, just like your life is becoming more and more like Jesus. So I'm going to close with a verse that you've heard me say recently also, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. There's a knocking. Jesus is knocking. Jesus loves you so much, and he's trying to communicate something to you. Make sure that you get aside. Make sure that you know that the Lord is trying to get your attention on something. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and remember, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to the church. He's talking to believers in him that have allowed something else to get in there that they're not hearing his voice. They're not remembering his words. The Holy Spirit is not able to get through. But if you will just say, you know, Lord God, I need to hear you more than I have been. So I'm going to purposely set some time to have my faith developed. I'm going to purposely set some time to talk to you. I'm going to purposely set some days aside, Lord God, to fast these things that have been taken from me and to realize that they've been taken from me to give a time to seek you. And I'm going to hear. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. You see what he wants to do? Personal, quality, fellowship, time with you. He wants to just come in and be that shepherd, be that Lord, be that friend, to communicate what he has secured on your behalf for you to come into a greater union with him. The same union that the Father has with the Son and the Son has with the Father. He says you can have that same union fellowship, that the world may believe that the Father sent the Son to save them, that the world may understand the same love that the Father God has for Jesus that he has for them. And so he wants to communicate that love and that truth through your life, through your words, and through the way that you live, so that we can have a Galatians 2:20 lifestyle. And I'm going to just say this right here, Galatians 2:20. This is what the Apostle Paul said about himself, and that you can begin to say this and believe this for yourself. I have been crucified with Christ. Go ahead and say that. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, it is no longer Mark Smith who lives. But I allow Christ to live and have residence within me. And the life which I now live in this body and walk this earth with, I live by faith. I live by faith, an ever-growing faith, an ever-increasing faith. I live by faith in the Son of God, number one, who loved me. I thank you. This day celebrates the great love that you have for us, Jesus. And we thank you for your great love. And so we have a life, Lord God, that understands and acknowledges the great love that you have for us. And so we acknowledge that love. We thank you for loving us. And you demonstrated that love by giving yourself for us. And you gave yourself willingly, Lord God. You gave yourself willingly, Jesus, to experience what you experienced, to take the sin of the world upon yourself, to experience all the trauma and heartache that this world has, to willingly take it upon yourself so that we could be healed, so that we could be restored, so that we could become children of God, accepted, beloved, welcomed, so that we could become safe and secure once again. We know that you would provide for us and watch over us and give us significance and purpose within life. to know that our lives have meaning now, and you've given life, our lives, meaning. And that we celebrate this day, this wonderful day, that we celebrate your resurrection, Jesus, and acknowledge your resurrection, that up from the grave you arose, and that you are risen, and that you are our risen Lord of glory. And you want us to join into that risen life that you have. And so we yield ourselves. Lord Jesus, we just don't want to be like Martha today and relegate a resurrection to the future. Yes, we look forward to it. But Jesus, you said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. There's a resurrected life that you want us to taste of while we're still here on this earth. You want to make it known to us, and you want to make it known through us. So we thank you that just as that stone was rolled away so many years ago, and just as they had to roll that stone away from Lazarus' tomb, and if there's any stone that we've allowed to cover anything that we're hiding behind, or that is somehow not reflecting your glory within our life, we purpose to say right now, we allow that stone to be rolled away. No, I roll away that stone. I will no longer hide behind that or allow that to be a dominant place within my life. That whatever I do in word or in deed, I'm able to do it in the name of Jesus. And it gives you thanks and it gives you glory and it gives you honor, Father. That is how we live our lives. That whatever we do all heartily as unto you, Lord, and not unto men. So we thank you, Father, for this day, this wonderful Resurrection Sunday, this day that marks, Lord God, what you secured for all mankind, that death no longer has a hold on us, Satan no longer has a grip on us, sin no longer has a dominion over us, that we are free from sin, we are free from Satan's binding, we are free from death's fear. We live unto you, and we live in your victory. We live in your life. And so we thank you. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to you, Lord, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Take that time. Utilize this time. Don't hurry this to be over. If there's a stone in your life, let it be removed. If there's a speaking of other things louder than the Lord speaking in your life, turn off those other things. Make sure that you have your secret time, your Matthew, I believe it's in Matthew 6, where Jesus said, when you pray, get alone, get inside that secret place, shut the door to everything else, and seek the Father who's in secret, so that when you leave that place, your life will be marked as a life openly, that God will display that secret place meeting with him. He'll display that openly or reveal to others that you have been alone with God. And they'll be able to say about you what they said about Peter and John in Acts 4. They have been with Jesus. That your life will be a marked life. That you're a life that lives with Jesus.